Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The Wrath of Shimei. David is fleeing. Absalom's rebellion has begun. And we've heard throughout our recent studies a series of people that David has had to deal with in one way or another. As he is making this flee to get out from the rebellion, crossing the Kidron Valley up the Mount of Olives, the concubines, his faithful servants, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, Philistines, Zadok and Abiathar. He learns of Ahithophel joining the rebellion. He prays, worships, and Hushai arrives. David sends Hushai back to Jerusalem to oppose the counsel of Ahithophel. A key point there, and I really just would like to take 1 minute. David certainly was in a time of great stress. And when he heard that he was betrayed by Ahithophel, he prayed and worshiped. And Hushai arrives. Friends, do not ever forget the power of prayer and worship. He didn't start moaning and complaining. He took it to the Lord, and the answer arrived. This is where the victory is. Folks, the victory is in the Lord. What is your trial and tribulation? I don't know. But I know this, the answer is in the Lord. This is a great encouragement also as we think of David in light of his great sin, that God heard his prayer. Well, then we saw that Ziba came to David. He had strife with Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan, the one that David had loved so desperately while he was a fugitive. Jonathan died in battle. Mephibosheth, David extended great kindness to him that he could bless someone from the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. Well, tonight we're going to see another one that comes to David. This one tonight is going to be Shimei. Shimei of the house of Saul. And he is going to curse David as David is moving along in his flight from Absalom in the rebellion. Let us read our text, chapter 16, 5 through 14. And when King David had come to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall say then, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, that he may curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary, and refreshed themselves there. Another one that David now is dealing with in his exodus from Jerusalem, heading eastward, he's going to cross the Jordan. Verse 5, when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. Can you imagine the burden that is on David as he is fleeing. He's dealt with all these people. He's lost the kingdom. And surely what has to be in the back of his mind, it's my fault. It's my fault. And how many people are suffering? It's my fault. He took Bathsheba. He murdered Uriah. And the judgment of God is upon him. He was told the sword will never leave your house. Bahurim, a place in the territory of Benjamin, which lay on an old road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It ran over the Mount of Olives and down the slopes to the east, and along that road was this town of Bahurim. And David is passing by there, and this guy, Shimei, of the house of Saul, comes and starts cursing him. We are not told specifically how he is related to the house of Saul. We do know he's of the tribe of Benjamin, which is where King Saul was from. We see that in verse 11. It is sufficient that we know he is of the house of Saul. Otherwise, the Bible would have told us more. King Saul, of course, is the king that David succeeded. He was a terrible king. Selfish. Proud. Rebellious. Self-righteous. If you remember, David was greatly persecuted by King Saul. He had to flee for his very life. When King Saul died, there was great strife as the kingships transitioned from Saul to David. And now this man of the house of Saul has come and is casting stones and curses at David. Verse 6. He cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Can we get the picture of what's happening? Those that are remaining faithful to David, walking there, and this guy is cursing all of them. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men. What is their crime? They've identified with David. I guess we could have a quick picture here of Christ. Will we get persecuted? Yeah. Why? Because we identify with Christ. David being a picture of Christ. The real attack is coming at David, but the others that were with him, they also felt the stones and the stings of those awful words. It says that David has all the servants. It says all the people, obviously all the people that were still faithful to him. And it talks about all the mighty men on his right hand and on his left. We have to realize King David is truly well equipped if he wants to snuff out Shimei. He probably could have gone over and done it himself. Let's think about these mighty men. Chapter 23 of 2 Samuel gives us a listing and some descriptions of what some of these men did. There are 37 in all mighty men. It's interesting, two of the men that are listed in the mighty men are dead. One being Asahel, the brother of Joab. If you remember, he was smitten by Abner when there was civil war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Who is the other mighty man that died? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 39, Uriah the Hittite. You want to know about being betrayed? Uriah was betrayed. And he died because David sent him in to a terrible part of the battle with the intent that they would withdraw and he would die. Two of his mighty men are dead. Take a look at the end of 2 Samuel 23, verse 39. 37 in all, but two are dead. Asahel and Uriah. He has these 35 men around him. They are his elite of elite. The Pelethites were the couriers. The Cherethites were the bodyguards. But then apparently we had the special forces. These mighty men. And we'll get there. We'll study some of the incredible feats that these men had done. By God's power. By God's grace. So picture this. This group of people plodding along, and David, of course, carrying the intense burden. And now this guy comes up and starts cursing at him. Verse 6. And he cast stones at David, and all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. Now I think it's interesting, come out, come out. Does he mean come out from that mass? I want to take you on one to one. Because to me, he's already come out. How much more do you want me to come out? I'm out of Jerusalem. I'm off the throne. I'm fleeing for my life. What more do you want from me? Life is in bad shape right now for David. He accuses him, thou art a bloody man. Verse 7, and thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. Belial, Satan worship, if you will, one of the false gods of the land. You bloody man. Now this is interesting that he would accuse David of being bloody. Let us consider 2 Samuel chapter 21. We're obviously now going ahead in time. But we're going to have referenced there something that happened way back. Years before Absalom's rebellion. 2 Samuel chapter 21 verse 1. Then there was a famine in the lands of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house. Well, who are you calling bloody? You're from the house of Saul, and you have the audacity to call me bloody? Now, he didn't say that. But it is interesting. Sometimes we forget our own sin while we're looking at the beam in somebody else's eye. And the truth is, that person probably does have a beam in their eye. But what about the beam in your eye? Consider. David was bloody. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 2. David wanted to build the temple, but he was not allowed because he was bloody. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 3. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Solomon will not be such a man. That was 1 Chronicles 28, 3. And of course, David did shed the blood of Uriah. We saw that in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. So, David was a bloody man. Okay, so was Saul. So was Saul. What do you want me to come out from? Quote, the provocation which David received was also undeserved. It here was indeed blood which cried from the ground for vengeance on his head, but he had never injured Shimei. What have I done to you? And as for this, having been guilty of the death of Saul and his family, no charge could be more unjust. But the ungodly are always selfish. They judge of others not by the laws of impartial justice, but by the standard of self-interest. So it is. Shimei is portraying David as this completely guilty party and absolving the house of Saul of all wrongdoing. Not true. Not true. He seems to have forgotten that Saul certainly had his fault. Verse 8. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. Apparently all he's remembering is the civil war. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. But the truth is, David tried to live peaceably with the house of Saul. Let's go way back. David and Jonathan were best friends. How about at En Gedi, when David and his men were in the cave and Saul came in David could have killed him, but he didn't. And he came out and made a public display. Do you see, I could have killed you and I didn't? And 3,000 of Saul's chosen men were there to witness that. Why are we chasing David around? 1 Samuel 24:6, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he's the anointed of the Lord. No, I will not kill Saul in this cave. Even to his own men, they tried to get him to kill him. I will not do it. Was David not the one who sought Mephibosheth of the house of Saul to extend kindness? Chapter 9, verse 7 of 2 Samuel, and David said unto him, fear not, Mephibosheth, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And Shimei accuses him of being a bloody man towards the house of Saul. David did not want civil war. He wanted peace for the nation. Again, the commentary, he received the provocation of Shimei with meek silence. He heard the accusations and he knew them to be false, but he answered him not a word. There are indeed cases in which it becomes absolutely necessary to vindicate our characters at any risk from the calumnies of the ungodly, but these occasions do not often occur. When our enemies are much incensed against us, it will generally be found that to reply to their aspersions serves only to increase their violence and perhaps to give them an advantage over us. Silence under provocation is safety to govern our lips, in most cases, to govern our hearts. But there may be silence where there is no meekness. No angry word may proceed from the lips when the deadliest revenge is cherished in the heart. This must not be. That's not being honorable in your silence. We must let vengeance to the Lord. Shimei says that the judgment of God is upon David for his sin. I find it interesting that if he is saying this, that you are being punished by God, I wonder if David thought to say, then why don't you go home? God can do it without your help. David didn't. If God is able to bring judgment, he doesn't need your help, Shimei. He doesn't need your display of anger. Oh, by the way, also, Shimei, if God is punishing the house of David for being bloody towards the house of Saul, then why is God giving the kingdom to another of the house of David? Wouldn't you think God would give it to somebody of the house of Saul? His logic doesn't make any sense. The behavior of Shimei is quite unnecessary. Quote, we are ready to suppose in the hour of affliction that every heart must feel for us, and that the malice of our bitterest enemies must now for a season be changed into pity. But experience proves that the most afflicted are generally the most persecuted. Just to kind of project into the future, what's going to happen to Shimei when David comes back? He learns that the rebellion is being subdued, Absalom is dead, he makes his way back to Jerusalem, he crosses Jordan, and here comes Shimei. And he is quite a different man. He has humbled himself at that time. Well, continuing on down the road, David dies. Solomon ascends to the throne. Look what Solomon says in 1 Kings 2:36. And the king, that's Solomon, sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there. Go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passed over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thy own head. If you keep reading in that 1 Kings chapter 2, the king sends Benaiah to kill him because he leaves town, crosses out of the city. 1 Kings 2:46, so the king Solomon commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died, referring to Shimei. This man didn't quite learn his lesson. He was told to do something and he did not do it. Was it true that God's judgment was on David for sin? Absolutely. And he was told in 2 Samuel 12, the sword will not leave thy house. Well, let's come back now to the present in David's time. And here he is walking along and this guy is casting out stones and throwing dust and throwing curses at him. And finally, Abishai couldn't take it. Verse 9, then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and pray thee to take off his head. He didn't mince any words. We're going to put an end to this. Well, who is this Abishai? Earlier we saw when the civil war was on, he was one of the leaders of the army. He was over one third of David's army when they had the civil war against the house of Saul. He's Joab's brother, who's the head of the army. He's Asahel's brother, who was killed by Abner. He's David's nephew, because Zeruiah is David's sister. Please take a look at 1 Chronicles 2:15. Ozem the sixth, David. This is talking about the family, immediate family of David. David the seventh son, whose sisters were Zeruiah. Got it? Take a look at 2 Samuel 16:9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah. Zeruiah is David's sister, and Abishai is his nephew. Let us keep reading. 1 Chronicles 2:16, whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail, the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai, Joab, Asahel. Abishai was not known for his mercy. If you remember back when David was a fugitive and they found Saul and his army laying in the valley asleep at night, and David took Abishai with him and they crept down and they got all the way to King Saul where he slept. And David was there and Abishai said, let me kill him. He was ready to kill a lot of people. David said, no. No. You're not going to do that. It's believable that Abishai was the one in the cave at En-Gedi enticing David to kill Saul then. Consider 1 Samuel 26:9. David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Here he wants to slay Shimei. And he even wanted to slay Shimei when the rebellion was all over. David comes back, crosses the Jordan. Here comes Shimei humbling himself, and Abishai's ready to kill him again. You didn't want to be on the wrong side of Abishai, I'll tell you. Abishai did not see his own sins. It's interesting. Shimei has not, that we can see, murdered anyone. He has really, other than slander the king, thrown a few stones, really not done anything worthy of death. Could it be, though he could be accused of being a traitor, would the law certainly be on the side of David if he wanted to end it? Yes. But we'll get there. Surely David was angry with Abishai for wanting to kill him. Verse 10, the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? David remembers his sin. What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Well, I'm stuck with you. You're my blood. You're my nephews. And they were a problem to him. David accepts the hand of God. The Lord hath said unto him, curse David. David is looking at this whole situation saying, God is on the throne. God has moved him to curse and to throw stones. Who am I to undo the work of God? You see, This man is throwing stones at me. This man is calling me names. Yeah, you're apparently getting hit by the residual stones that missed me. Those words are pretty offensive, what's being said. But compared to my son, this is nothing. And compared to my sin against Uriah and Bathsheba, he said, no, don't raise your hand. Verse 11, and David said to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowel, seeketh my life. How much more may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Oh, if we could learn to accept such criticism, slander, wrongdoing as David did. You see what's going to happen? David will eventually come back to the throne. Don't worry about this little guy Shimei. He's really not an issue right now. Oh, how many times do we get distracted by the little things? Earthly speaking, for the moment, that was the biggest problem they had. Can we get rid of this guy? No, remember the big picture. Song of Solomon tells us the little foxes spoil the vine. Not the big ones. We can deal with the big ones. It's the little irritations that tend to get us. He's a little irritation. It could be a lot worse. In Psalm 51:1, it is written specifically by David at the time he had taken Bathsheba in adultery and murdered Uriah, and he writes this incredible psalm of confession, and he says in verse 3 of Psalm 51, I, David, acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. Maybe some of you hearing my voice are cringing when you think back to some of the things that you have done in your life. David was able to at least move on. Will you at times remember that? And you'll just want to go hide? Maybe so. This is where David was. My sin is ever before me. But remember, we have a God that says, I will remember your sins no more. He did not say, I forgot your sins. If he can forget, he's not God. And if he did forget, what are we going to do when he one day remembers? Hey, that's right. You're a real mess. No, God says, I make a conscious effort. I will not remember your sin. You have confessed it. I have forgiven you. Praise God's holy name. Who could stand if he ever held our sins before us? Thank God for his mercy and love. Verse 12 of 2 Samuel 16. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Can I paraphrase what that is saying? That's Romans 8:28. God can work all things together for good. Maybe God's going to use this one. And I don't want to take away, if you will, the hand of God, the tool of God, Shimei. If God is working something good here, we're not going to interfere with God. He has apparently moved this man to do this. And he realized he served a merciful God. Quote, the reason why God was pleased to allow this insult to be added to the other trials of David is obvious. He wished to teach him how low his iniquities had sunk him and to show him that the cup of the divine indignation against him was not exhausted yet. It tells us that the servant of God must expect to meet with insults and provocations from his fellow sinners. We are not dwelling among angels, but among men. We are living in a fallen world, in a world that has renounced the authority of God, of peace, and thrown itself under the dominion of the Prince of Discord. It would be madness then to think of passing through it as though we were in a world of love.
We're in a sin-sick world, folks.
So it is, Shimei continues his tirade, verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast down. And David accepted this from the Lord. He said, I am not going to raise my hand against this man. And because he trusted God and he said, God, you're in this. Do you know what he said? And the king and all the people with him were weary and refreshed themselves, and I can have peace and a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here is this man casting stones. Do you have somebody that's irritating you? A neighbor, a family member, somebody? Let it go. Let it go. Let it in the hand of God. This is what David did. He let it go. And here it says, the last word of verse 13, he cast dust along with the stones and the curses. And verse 14, they refreshed themselves. Lord, if you would take this away, then I would be refreshed. No. God says you live in a sin-sick world. Trust me, I will give you refreshment in the midst of the trial. If we're only going to find refreshment when all of our problems are gone, we will never find refreshment. It's not going to happen. Not this side of glory. We must learn, as David did, fleeing from his son, bearing the burden of his terrible sin, having to deal with these different groups of people and individuals that had come his way in these last chapters. And now I'm dealing with this madman, cursing, throwing dust and stones. Leave it with God, and you will find refreshment. This is where David is. Oh, that we can learn from him. This history reminds us also of the dignity which a meek and forgiving spirit imparts. The Bible tells us it's the glory of a man to pass over a transgression, and it gives us in this chapter a confirmation of the saying, here then is a lesson for all those who are striving to raise themselves to honor. You wish to be highly esteemed among men? And, in order to procure their respect, you imagine that no real or supposed insult must pass unnoticed, and that you must commence a struggle for superiority in rank and consequence. Is then the object of your wishes to be attained by such means as these? Impossible. Cease from the foolish attempt. Go and sit at the feet of David. Let him teach you that the readiest, the surest, the safest way to exalt yourself is to lie low and be humble, to be meek and lowly at heart, to triumph over the pride and folly which have hitherto been leading you captive. David wasn't enslaved to these things. David is a different man. Quote, the fruit of the Spirit, said St. Paul, writing to the Galatians, is long-suffering. Long-suffering patience is one of the rarest virtues because it is so easy to be impatient. And I like this very simple quote. It is wonderful how amiable we all are until we're irritated. Let us learn from David. He was accused. Surely his sin was before him. God was dealing with him. He just let Shimei go. Brush it off. Brush it off. Let it with God. And in his time, he will set you free.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.